I'm getting the feeling that half the documentation team is actually in this room right now. So the documentation team has existed for almost as long as the GNOME project. Came around in 1999 with Dave Mason, who was hired by the Red Hat Labs to write some documentation for GNOME. And as it turned out to be, he happened to be really, really good at it and managed to pass his knowledge on to the rest of the community. And that's how we ended up with the documentation team in the first place. And then the mantle was passed from person to person for a few years, and eventually Sean McCants ended up as our dictator in 2003. And this year will be his 10th anniversary, this September. And eventually we came to GNOME 3, but I'll get to that in a minute. I think 3 has a question. Sean has minions, and some of them are actually here. So he's got minions, and he makes good use of us. He bosses us around all the time. So who are the documentation team? Well, we don't really have... I know. You need to do something about that. Yeah. It's not good enough.
Are the Belgians doing your work?
Are you going to submit a patch?
Maybe.
Today? When? Was it committed? Okay, well done. I forgot to add France to the list then. I was just doing that for memory, and actually we have about 50 applications that we maintain documentation for, and on top of that we have developer documentation, the system administrator guide, and actually no single person can really keep track of all of that, which is probably why I missed your patch. And we don't have a formal team structure. We have Sean, who's awesome. And then we have all of us who do all the work. And we have members who are native English speakers. We have people who are not. Everyone has something to contribute. Over the last year, we had 25 notable contributors, 7 of whom made significant contributions to lots and lots of projects. We actually take lots of interns for the outreach program. We have 5 mentors who are willing to mentor interns who are listed on the GNOME Love page. We actually take interns outside of the program as well, but less formally so. And over the last 4 years, we actually have had 12 interns, 4 of whom are with us today in this room. Hands up. There we go, 4. And 6 of us are now foundation members, which I think is actually pretty successful. I think we've done really, really well. Yay. As GNOME 3 came along, Sean decided that he wanted to improve the user documentation and the experience for users. So previously, like in GNOME 2, most of the help was written in DocBook, which is really good for developer help, but not actually so good for user help, because the first thing you see when you look at a DocBook help is just a blank page with an index. That's not really very useful. The help was also written in a hierarchical structure and focused on describing the user interface. And actually, who wants to read through a description of the user interface to find out how to achieve something? Anyone? Okay, no takers. So with GNOME 3, because the user interface changed so much between GNOME 2 and GNOME 3, and also many of the applications changed, we chose to rewrite the help in Mallard, which is an XML language which was designed by Sean specifically for user help. When you look at Mallard help and when you look at DocBook help, it looks very different. It's much more task-oriented. So when a user reads the help, they generally have, like, they have something they want to achieve. They look at the user help and they find how to achieve it. So instructions on how to achieve something rather than how to use an interface. And As I mentioned, we have team members from all over the world. We tend to write in simple English because, firstly, it's easier to translate. Secondly, anyone, well, not anyone, but many people find it much easier to write. And actually, many people find it much easier to understand as well. And as it turns out, it's pretty important because actually user help is not translated very well. We don't have very many translations. As you can see, from GNOME 2 to GNOME 3, there has not been much change. Most of the user help translations is under 10% translated. For most languages, the user help is translated, under 10% of the user help is translated. We have had only one language consistently translated to over 90%, in fact, almost to 100% at every release, and that is Spanish. So we really appreciate that. And it would be great if we can somehow encourage translators to actually translate the user help. I'll tell you why that's important in a minute. So who are our users? We have a lot of users. Generally, they're not people who are sitting in this room. The help is designed for people who actually don't know how to use the application at all, not people who have used it for many, many years. And we still get, it's still useful for people who are here, for example, if the user interface changes and suddenly you can't find something. Go to the user help, look at it, you will find how to do it. Or maybe it's a feature which has been removed. But hey, can't have everything. So we can't actually track who reads the desktop help. We can't track who reads what they find useful, what they don't find useful. The best reviews we get are actually from translators because they often file bugs within 7 days of a commit, so which is really handy because that's long before a release usually, so we can actually fix things. I mean, within the team, we have a review process as well where the help will normally be reviewed by 3 different people. On the other hand, users generally only get around to reporting bugs 6 months after the release, which can be up to a year after the page was written. And this means that very often, by the time they report a bug, either the UI has changed in the application and the help has been rewritten, or the problem has already been fixed. And if it's in master, generally, sometimes they might not actually be able to get the fix for that version. They might have to actually wait another 6 months to see the fix, which isn't very user-friendly. Thanks to Andrea Verri, we have actually recently been able to track our users on library.gnome.org, which has proven to be really handy. As you can see, it's not a particularly good graph, but you can see the trends. And what that shows is the blue line is unique visits. The magenta is unique page views, and the yellow is all page views. On average, we get approximately 6,000 unique page views a day, which is much more than many of the other GNOME websites. This, by the way, covers user help and developer help and the system administrator guide. And as you can see, the trend shows that we have the most page views on weekdays, and that implies that many of our users who are reading the websites are doing so at work rather than at home, which is quite surprising. I was actually expecting for most of our users to be reading the help at home, but that's not the case.
When there's nothing on TV.
Yes, when there's nothing on TV. And actually, along with that, what we found was that the Spanish translations of the user help have been read much more often than the original user help. And this is why translations are important. 8 out of the top 10 most read pages between the user help and the developer documentation have been in Spanish. Yay for our Spanish users. So there are a few ways that developers and designers can actually help us improve the help before the release. Because, of course, we always want to provide the best help that we can for our users. So, for example, applications can have tooltips. Because if a button has only an icon, so no text, then it's very difficult for us to describe. And we also need to talk about how to interact with the user interface. It would help if designers actually try to talk themselves through it as well. Because if they're not able to describe how a user should be interacting with a specific button or a label, then we probably can't do it either. So either they can come talk to us, or even just come up with a way to describe it themselves. And that would help us quite a lot. And as for developers, we do try to keep on top of user help and have it done in time for the releases. But sometimes either we don't know about the changes, or we can't actually test the latest application easily, so we might need help just building it even, so that we can see what it should look like and whether there have been any changes. So please file bugs against the docs. File them when there are UI changes, file them when the application starts working differently, when the user gets something back from the application that is not what they used to get, so that we can update the help. And of course, there are some applications which don't show all their functionality to the user through the user interface. Like, for example, there are sometimes hidden shortcuts which are not mentioned anywhere. Most of us are not coders, so it would really help if we knew about these. So when we're documenting your application, just come talk to us, tell us what we should be looking at. And that really helps. Of course, as we document your application, we will do a full user and UI review and usability testing. We will actually go through your application, and we will try to use it as we normally would, and try to use it how other people might use it. And on average, we find 10 or 20 bugs in any given application when we do that, even if nothing has changed in a few months. So we will test it for you, so do ask us to write help for it. So at the moment, we are working on developer documentation and the platform overview. The effort is being led by Federico, who's over here. Make sure everyone sees you. It's an area which has been neglected somewhat and is desperately in need of more work. We are restructuring the platform overview almost from scratch. We have new overview pages, and we will be integrating some of the developer documentation into it. So we always need help with that. So if you want to help with that, just come find us. We're having a hackfest for the help. So we have developer documentation that we're having hackfest for next week, and also the system administrator guide. The system administrator guide hasn't had much love since before NIM 3. So a lot of how system administrators would want to manage their users has changed. And at the moment, there is very little documentation about this. There are a few things on the wiki. So that's the other area that we're currently focusing on. And Peter and Jan, who's sitting back there, are helping out with that. And also, we have been so busy making sure that all the application help is up to date that we have slightly neglected our style guide. The style guide is a document which basically helps newcomers to the documentation team learn how to write the help, which tone to use, which vocabulary to use, and grammar, and terms, all sorts. But that's been a bit neglected because we've been concentrating on the user help. So that's something that we would like to get done sometime soon, as we're almost finished rewriting the user help, all of the user help into Mallard, and almost all of it is up to date now. It's actually gotten to the point where it's quite difficult to find new projects for interns to document. So we're now moving on to maintenance from that point of view. Just like to say a big thank you to Ryan and Ray, who have provided us with a lot of help and tech support when it came to the system administrator's guide. They're the people who wrote the tools, so we've gone to them and asked for their help, and they have been very receptive. They've given us a lot of advice, and that means that what we have produced so far is accurate, precise, and easy to understand. Christian has proven to be a very basically the best developer to work with out of everyone we've worked with. Sindhu here has spent quite a lot of time talking to him as she was writing the user help for the terminal. He was very receptive to improving the UI, and basically he provided support when we needed it and was patient with us and put up with us. Dave has been very helpful at providing tech support at our hackfests, which we have needed. At our last hackfest, we had 3 out of about 8 laptops die on us in the first day. That was fun. Andre, back there. He's also been very patient with our interns and newcomers, and it's been great. Yes, you have. They all love you, Andre. And same for Adam. Adam has actually gone so far as to walk our interns through submitting their, well, potential interns for the outreach program, through submitting their first patches and debugging their problems when trying to build the applications. And that takes a lot of dedication. So a big thank you to Adam as well. So we're having a few more talks at WADEC about documentation. There is one later today by Petr about the Getting Started videos, which are what you see the first time you log into your user account, your GNOME user account. So he's giving a presentation at 6 p.m. today, a lightning talk, I think. And Marta, who's sitting right there, is going to be talking about what we've been doing with the developer documentation over the last 2 years. Marta was an outreach program intern. 1 year? Well, you started, you had your internship last year, but it kind of covers what Tiffany started on before that. And that will eventually be integrated with a platform overview, which Federico is working on. So Marta's talk is tomorrow at 4. If you're interested, sorry, at 2, tomorrow at 2 in this room. If you're interested in developer documentation, do come, listen to what she has to say, and then join us for the developer documentation hackfest next week. So we're having a developer documentation hackfest for the whole week, and we're also having a system administrator's guide hackfest for the whole week. On top of that, we've got a BOF with some people from the internationalization team who will help us, I hope, make it easier to write help for translators. Well, make it easier for translators to translate our help. So that's, I think, about all I've got to say for the last year. Does anyone have any questions? I hope people have lots of questions. Awesome.
Mallard is an awesome tool, and I wanted to know if you know of any use of it outside of GNOME.
I think that there are some companies that are using it internally, but there aren't any major uses of it outside of GNOME. We have, well, Sean has spoken to KDE to see if they would use, whether he could write something similar to Yelp for them to use, and for them to use Mallard, for their user help. But as far as I know, this hasn't come to anything yet.
So I have a question. After every release, what sort of testing goes, like for instance, the tutorials and things like that, to make sure that they still work against? Is that done prior to release, or I mean?
We try to do all testing before the release, but we're slightly understaffed. So we are actually, we don't get the developer documentation testing done because we don't have enough people to do it. That's why I say if anyone's interested in developer documentation, we really, really need you.
So if I can help you with that, I think this is some sort of, this is a function of outreach or marketing team in which we can ask the community at large to get people to do that. Especially things like tutorials where that can easily be done. The one thing is that we have to have an image that can do the testing. So that
exactly
would mean that release team or something provides us with an image prior to release. And then Which I'm working on, actually.
So. That would be really great if you could, once that actually happens. And as far as I understand, Austria will help us actually do the testing once it's
right.
Once exactly. It becomes more mature.
And that's true even for translations too, right?
If yeah.
Translated documentation and
I mean, we
so forth.
Write documentation on the go always. We don't have documentation freezes because we don't have enough people to actually be able to finish it in time for a freeze. We write it before the code freeze. We write it after the code freeze. So that should indicate how much spare time we have for testing. But we do try to test it, and we do make sure that what we actually write, we get reviews on from within the team. And of course, if anyone else files a bug, we always say, patch is welcome if you want to help us, or we fix it.
Okay. All right. So I have some work to do. Thanks.
Thanks for helping. Have one here.
Hi, so you mentioned that you have interns to do documentation. I guess that it's a problem with documentation as much as it is with many other non-coding tasks, that if you want to be sponsored or paid or whatever you want to call it to do any of this work, the outreach program for women is really the only thing that's available. Do you see that changing going forward? Is there any chance of some money from elsewhere to get people paid to write documentation?
To be honest, probably not, because most people don't seem to care about documentation. It's only the users that do. We have another marketing comment, I think. I mean, it would be, as it is, most of our new blood on the documentation team has been from the outreach program, and half of our team is female, half is male, which is very unusual for an open source project. We have actually had no new male contributors in recent years. I consider that to be a bad thing because it's becoming very outreach-centered, and I would actually love to see new members join from the community and from outside the community, not through the program. I think that could bring a lot to the team.
So I'm bugged by the fact that we say, or you said, that a lot of people don't think documentation is important. So from my perspective, documentation is right now my number one focus. So it comes down to this. If you're trying to learn the platform or trying to try to do the code samples or things like that, the documentation is your only guide to actually writing an app. And if you don't have good let me give you an example. So if you wanted to write a JavaScript app, everything we have is just generated by, you know, GTK doc or, you know, by GObject introspection. If you go in there is no context to this documentation. You have nothing that says this is how you write one in JavaScript. From you need a loop, you need an event loop, you need to do that, you need to do that. That's part of JavaScript. So if you're a weekend warrior and you only have time to do it like myself, you're going to be very frustrated very quickly. And we get punked by everybody else because our documentation is poor and we're expected to read the code. I don't want to read the code. I want to see documentation.
We just need more people to write it. We need more developers who are willing to write documentation, or just people who understand code.
So for me, as a brand, it affects the brand. So, and that's how I look at it.
I happen to know that a number of people who have been looking for documentation to write a GNOME application, I have actually just Googled for it, and they found other help elsewhere, which isn't ideal. We, of course, always do want to provide our own documentation. But unless we actually have more manpower to do it, I don't think is likely to happen anytime soon. I mean, Federico is obviously working on the developer documentation, and we've done some work. We had a hackfest last month where we finished flushing out the structure of the new developer documentation. We just need to fill it. Safe?
I have something to
You go first.
Actually, Cindy wanted to go after me, so.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
When I was doing the outreach program for women internship, I felt the lack of documentation to do right documentation.
That's what the style guide is for.
Yeah. So I dutifully went and looked up the style guide, flipped through it, got it printed, and you know, slept on it. Right, I did all of that, and I did hear comments and reviews that it is outdated. And so you have in place a style guide that you recommend to read, and it is outdated. So my question is, why aren't you guys working on it here?
Because we've got too much to do.
Why isn't that a priority right now?
We had some work done on it last year, and then we didn't have anyone interested enough to do it. I was actually going to write it myself 4 months ago, I think. But then some other projects came up, and I wrote the help for those instead. So, for example, I chose to write the Epiphany help instead of writing the style guide. It's just that we don't, each individual on the team, basically our team works as individuals rather than as a whole team, unless we're at a Hackfest, in which case we just put all our efforts into one thing, and we go at it, and we get it done. Because generally, we tend to work on what interests ourselves, rather than what specific people might want. And of course, we take requests, and that's why we fix bugs. So we say, file the bugs, we will fix them.
The GDP style guide describes widgets, right? Basically, what a widget is and how you can describe it in your documentation. And since with the release of GDK3 in new applications using the new GDK3, lots of widgets have changed, and those don't even have a GDP style guide entry. And how are newcomers who see applications only written in GDK supposed to describe this?
Generally, we recommend that they read, at the moment, I just finished the Epiphany help, and we recommend that they read the Epiphany help, because that's actually a good example of what help should look like, and describe based on that. The terms we're using for GNOME 3 applications are still somewhat in flux. For example, Empathy was our flagship documented project 3 years ago. Now that is somewhat outdated, because we have actually the style of our documentation has evolved. It's now improved, at least I think it has improved. We've had we took into account the feedback from users based on what they found confusing and so on. And that will keep evolving for some time to come. But at the moment, we on our project page on the wiki, we say which is our application to look at for user help. For developer documentation, we don't have a specific style guide yet, mm-hmm. at all, because that is still being developed. If you actually go read what's already there, then it's not too difficult to follow that style.
I've just one last to add to that. The outreach program for women, and when you have a landing page that describes what is going on with the documentation team, yep. and what are the task lists. Now, that task list doesn't have any of this stuff that you're working on. I mean, what is proposed, the system admin guide, the developer guide.
And actually, there is a task list for the system administrator guide. There is a task list for the developer guide. They're on separate pages from the application help. There are three task lists, and then there are links to Bugzilla, to the documentation bugs.
Could perhaps GDP style guide be included in the tasks for
it is lower next down in the page as well.
Is it? It's
yes.
There?
Okay. It is
okay.
There.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
So two things, one sort of in reply to your comment and one about trees. It's just something to help you write documentation. If you use Emacs is really, really good for editing XML-based documentation. And I started a little project called GNOME Emacs Utils. It's in my blog. It's basically you download a Git module, You install it, you tell Emacs about it. It has documentation on how to do that. And what it does is basically every time you open a Mallard document in Emacs, it scans the Mallard XML schema, and you have tab completion for the available tags at any point in your document. So, you know, if you are inside of a page, inside of a section, inside of a paragraph, it will tell you, okay, right here you can put, you know, bold emphasis or a reference to another thing or a link to another thing. It is very nice. It's very, very useful.
How is that different from gedit or some other text editor that's able to build symbols and, you know, do an auto completion? If I don't know what I'm supposed to describe it as, a list of you know, tags will not help me. I don't know what that is.
So we need a style guide. We definitely need a style guide. But, you know, when I started writing documentation, that was when we used DocBook. And DocBook is this immense ocean of tags. And Emacs really helped me there, at least to know what I could do at any point in time or at any point in the document. And, you know, I had, for that specific case, you know, DocBook has, like, I don't know, 9 different types of lists. One is itemized list, ordered list, variable list, list of this and that kind of thing. And even if you get it wrong the first time, once you have the content in there, it is really easy to change the list type and the sub-element types to something else, you know? So don't be afraid of using the wrong element type, because someone will later look at it and say, oh, you know, you should be using this one instead. And it's really easy to change. But it's getting the content written that is the hard part.
Just in response to Sindhu, it's actually very similar with Mallard. You have, for example, steps for lists which contain steps, and lists just for lists of items, terms for definition terms. And that works in a similar way. And part of the point of using Mallard was that the tags should be relatively self-explanatory. So as you write something, you should think, okay, so I want to give some steps and give some steps in a steps tag, or I want to show an example, and then you just use an example tag.
The syntax is all fine. I mean, that's not my concern. What I'm saying is, I'm a GSOC intern now, and I've done some small features for this Git client called GitG, and they're using a lot of new widgets from GDK3, and I have never seen them before. I mean, these are very new. So there is like a GDK header bar now. For someone who is writing documentation for this, like let's go back and look from a newbie point of view. How will they describe, or how will they know it's a header bar? Do they maybe that person thinks, okay, this is the top bar, but top bar is not the same as saying a header bar.
The developer documentation actually requires some prior knowledge. There is no way around it. You have to know what you're describing. So you have to actually be relatively competent with, say.
Are you talking about writing user documentation for GitG?
Yeah, okay.
So, it would be nice if in the style guide we had a little overview of what to call the different parts in the user interface. Can you, or would you have time to write a little list of those kinds of things, and then we can start taking care of them during the breakfast?
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Because since you've been right.
There is a style guide component on Bugzilla, and Dave wants to say something.
Okay.
So file bugs against that, say what is missing.
Something also that's kind of nice with that is Matthias Klausen recently, if you were in his talk, he actually gave a presentation about some of the new widgets that are in GTK for GNOME 3 applications. And of course, all of these things are in the widget gallery. So if you go to the GTK 3 developer documentation, go to the widget gallery, you will see these things. So that even visually can give you an idea of some of the new features that you might want to be looking at.
But these are some things that, you know, somebody who started documentation. Now, we all know that documentation is supposed to be really low entry barrier, and you're taking people who don't have prior coding experience. So it's like a chicken and egg problem. You want them to know that developer documentation exists, but these are like really new people. So they've never done coding before.
Developer documentation is not really intended for someone who's an absolute newcomer. They really do have to know what they're doing.
So it is a requirement that you need to specify probably on the page before, you know, people apply?
We have people contributing not only through the outreach program, and we actually don't really have very many. Well, this year we haven't had any interns for the developer documentation. We currently have an intern for the user help, and you did user help as well. Last year we had 4 interns for developer documentation. They did start from scratch, so I think it took them a lot of time to get up to speed. Marta can probably say something about that if someone can pass her microphone.
I am working, I'm trying to work on something that you might like, but it's a newcomers, a beginner's tutorial. So far it's just for GTK, but I would like to have something like that for other libraries. I'm working on the one for Python, Mac, for the
Mag is upstairs because she's volunteering.
Mag Ford is working on something similar for JavaScript. And actually my talk tomorrow is about this project.
So are you going to be talking about how you actually started writing the help as a newcomer to GNOME?
Yes.
Okay. So she will be covering that in her talk.
Okay. That's good. That's good for me.
Thanks. Aruna? And I think Zaif also had a comment. Zaif?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to add something to what Sindhu said, as in things that need more documentation on the wiki, one of the things that I have some bugs that are pending on Bugzilla, and one of these is to do with experimental UI. I'm hoping Pet will cover it in his talk on getting started videos, because I saw, you know, some stuff on experimental UI in the videos. But I think it's more to do with the fact that Yelp cannot, I don't know, render these. Because I had to like use experimental UI as part of my, as for one of the bugs, and I still don't know how to. And I couldn't really find documentation, you know, stuff on the wiki on this, or maybe I haven't been looking properly.
Well, if it's not there, then you can add it. You should actually write the documentation.
No. I'm just saying that I myself don't know how to use it. Experimental UI.
Okay. So for a start, that is not in our wiki. We do not have any documentation about that. The documentation for that is on the Project Mallard website. There is some documentation about it, but it's still going by the namespace. It really is experimental. We don't know which way it will go. Petr does a lot of work with that. So, personally, I find that the best thing to do is actually look at examples of Petr's work to find how to use it. I think, do you have anything to say to add to that?
Yeah, so mostly it's, you know, Sean's projectmar.org website that talks about those experimental namespaces. And not all of that is implemented in Yelp, though, or it's a moving target. So, changing quickly. We have also a Yelp/Mallard wiki page on GNOME Wiki, which actually lists elements from the experimental namespaces that are already implemented in Yelp. So that's probably the only resource we have on GNOME.org.
We have some more time.
Just a quick comment. On one of your slides, there is library.gnome.org, and I think it changed to help.gnome.org now.
That is actually not the case. Library.gnome.org covers help.gnome.org, developer.gnome.org, so two things. So when you go to library.gnome.org, the first thing you see is users, developers, system administrators. And once you actually click on one of those, it will take you to the subdomain. But actually, like the web stats we get from it covers all of those areas. So it covers the user, developer, and the system administrator guide.
Okay.
We have some time for some more questions. Anybody?
Here.
So, other than recruiting more people, what's your strategy for the next sort of, I don't know, 6 months, something like that? Because it does seem like you've got a lot of stuff, and it's not clear to me what is most important to you, like.
We have a very diverse team, and as I was saying, most of us prefer to work on user help because that's a lot of us aren't developers. We have very few developers in the documentation team, which has proven to be a bit of a problem. But generally, people work in the areas that they're interested in because that's where they're most motivated to work.
So for most
of the contributors, I expect we'll be working on maintaining the user help. Federico is leading the effort for the developer help. Jan, Peter, and I have been working on the system administrator guide. I plan to continue working on that. We have Ryan Lorty as well, who has started a How Do I series on the wiki. And all of us actually just work on these different things. If we were to concentrate on one, for a start, it would not be good use of our time because some of us are not very good in that area. And of course, we can learn how to do it, but that would just mean that we would have to give up working in other areas to be able to achieve that.
Okay, so let me narrow my question down then. For the user help, what's your strategy? And for the developer help, what's your strategy? Do you have like a set sort of plan to overcome it? Because it could be difficult, I think, for people to get involved if they didn't know, you know, how to start. And I think it'd be useful to sort of know that.
Well, the goal currently for the developer help is to finish the new platform overview, which. Sorry. The goal for developer help is to finish the platform overview, which is in Git, so anyone can go and look at it, where we are adding new descriptions for various areas of the platform, and we're moving the demos that Marta has been working on into that, and once that is complete, that will be developer.gnome.org. So we're overhauling that from scratch.
And for the user help?
For the user help, it's now getting to the point where it's primarily maintenance. If you go onto our wiki, which you will find at wiki.gnome.org/documentation-project, and navigate to the application help task page, you will see all the application help that we maintain listed there. And it actually has individual statuses. Our aim is to get all of those statuses into green, which is complete, done, reviewed, and ready to be shipped. And that is basically our ongoing maintenance. We have Arun is now finishing the last of the user help, which needs to be rewritten from the docbook as part of her internship. Any other questions?
I think we can take another question. Anybody? There's just about a couple of minutes left.
Okay, I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming.